live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council has confirmed that plans are underway to settle a number of refugee families in Donegal Town. Plans for a major extension to McGettigan's Hotel on Main Street Letterkenny have been appealed to Mbord Planala. There are urgent calls for the reinstatement of the Community Welfare Officer post at the Milford Public Services Centre, and a Donegal deputy has described a €3 million spend on agency staff at Letterkenny University Hospital as outrageous. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up a little later. But first the news. Donegal County Council has confirmed that plans are underway to house a number of refugee families in Donegal Town. To date, families have been resettled in Carndonagh, Ballybofey, Stranorlar, Letterkenny and Buncrana. Donald Kavanagh has more.
In a statement issued today, Donegal County Council says it continues to engage with the Irish Refugee Protection Programme and the Department of Justice and Equality in relation to the resettlement of families under the programme. While there are plans to resettle families in the Donegal Town area, the authority says details haven't yet been confirmed. The Local Resettlement Interagency Steering Group, which comprises representatives from relevant public sector providers, has been working with the Irish Refugee Protection Programme to oversee the local resettlement and integration programme in Donegal. And the council says dedicated resources have been employed to facilitate the resettlement of these families. The council has acknowledged the support provided by all organisations and agencies involved in the process, especially the positive community response received to date. They've requested that the families be given time and space to allow them settle into their new life in Donegal.
The security and constitutional implications of a no-deal Brexit is something Ireland should be afraid of. That's according to the Taoiseach, who's rejecting criticism from DUP leader Arlene Foster that he needs to dial down the rhetoric during Brexit negotiations. The UK is stepping up its no-deal preparations with a £2 billion fund to stockpile medicines, hire more border officials and run an information campaign. Leo Varadkar says the Irish government is being measured on how it's responding to Brexit.
I think any height rhetoric isn't coming from us, so there's a certain irony in being accused of that when I really think the rhetoric that's come from and the language that's come from the Irish government has been very measured and very consistent over the last couple of years.
Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Michael Creed says Ireland is better prepared for a no-deal scenario than the UK.
The news coming from the UK that they talk about, you know, we'll solve it because we have a €2 billion budget between here and the end of October. It's not money will prepare, it's time. And in 3 months, you just simply won't do the preparations. It's a very complex undertaking to prepare all of the detail for a crash-out Brexit, but we are ready in terms of the infrastructure, built infrastructure, IT systems, staff arrangements.
A number of local residents have objected to plans for a major extension to McGettigan's Hotel in Main Street, Letterkenny. Concern over an increase in traffic and noise, as well as access for delivery vehicles through Spears Lane, have been expressed. The council had given conditional permission for the redevelopment and extension, which would see the provision of 61 new bedrooms and a spa. The plans have now been appealed to Mbord Planala. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The application in the name of Dennis McGettigan sets out plans for the demolition and reconfiguration of the former Milan nightclub to be replaced by a four-storey side extension providing 35 extra bedrooms. A new fifth floor would be built on top of the existing bedroom block to provide an additional 26 bedrooms, with a new extension to the fourth floor to facilitate a new spa facility. The council did grant conditional permission, but this was objected to by a number of local residents. They expressed concern of an increase in traffic and noise and access for delivery vehicles through the narrow Spears Lane. They also question if there's adequate parking close to the hotel and express concerns that hotel guests may use local roads for parking. And Mbord Planala is expected to make its decision on the plans by the 26th of November.
There are urgent calls for the reinstatement of the Community Welfare Officer post at the Milford Public Services Centre. It's understood that the service will now be provided in Letterkenny, and in urgent cases, an officer will visit Milford but not at a time suggested by the user. The move has led to serious concern locally over the distance elderly residents will now have to travel to avail of the service and may have to wait weeks initially for an appointment. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue has described this as a major step backwards.
And that's something unacceptable, because it is a service which is widely used, and it's one which the Department of Social Protection need to make an effort to ensure that it's in locations which is more convenient to members of the public who will actually be using it. And we have seen a situation, you know, in recent years where Donegal County Council developed public services centres across the county, Milford Public Services Centre being one of those, and the reason behind that was to bring services closer to the public. And it's essential now that the Department of Social Protection continue the service they had in the past and ensure and give a commitment that on a weekly basis there will continue to be a clinic in Milford Public Services Centre.
From what you're saying, there is obviously a public appetite there for that service to be in Milford. So why then do you think that the department has decided to pull it?
Well, we see across the public service too often that departments try and do what is convenient for them rather than what is convenient for the public. In my mind, if we see that very much in the health service, but particularly, I think we see it across other government departments, and I think that's what's at play here. And it's not a big ask of the Department of Social Protection to ensure that a weekly clinic is continued. It is a service which is used very regularly by many people. It operates and oversees the supplementary welfare service for people who are out of work and who need financial assistance, and often who can be under a lot of pressure, and it should be available to them in their locality. And Milford is the administrative heart of the Fannet and Rossgill areas, and it's important that service will continue to be in place.
Focus Ireland says it's time the government reviews its policy on homelessness, as not enough is being done to tackle the problem. It has welcomed the small drop in the homeless figures for June, which saw 81 less people accessing emergency accommodation. But the charity says the overall homeless trend has shot up by 28% in the last 2 years. In Donegal, latest figures show 22 adults in emergency accommodation and 811 households on the social housing waiting list. Focus Ireland spokesperson Rohan McNamara says the decision to reclassify some homeless families from official figures also needs to be looked at.
There's still some questions about the veracity of the total figures, and we don't want to get into squabbling about figures, but we need to be fully sure of what's been recorded. And there has been some reclassifications of numbers which have led to small decreases, but the main thing is to look at the overall policies.
A Donegal deputy has described spending on agency staff at Letterkenny University Hospital as outrageous. In the first 5 months of this year alone, almost €3 million has been spent on agency staff at the hospital, the highest amount spent across the whole Seilte Hospital group. Latest HSE figures show that close to €2 million was spent on doctors and consultants, with just over €650,000 having gone towards hiring support service personnel. Deputy Pierce Doherty believes the money could be better spent elsewhere.
I think this is outrageous, and when you compare it to what's happening right across the Seilte group, you can see that Letterkenny General Hospital is top in the list in relation to the amount of money that it's spending on agency staff. As we know time and time again, that agency staff is far more expensive. It drains the budget of Letterkenny General Hospital. It takes away resources that need to be put in place for frontline operations. My colleague, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, Patrick McLaughlin, speaking on Highland Radio, explained how some of the agency staff that were recruited at that time, consultants, that we were paying as much in 3 months through agency costs as it would to recruit a consultant for the entire year. This is a phenomenal waste of money, and it shows how the HSC and at government level are failing to deal with the crucial issues within the health service, and that is recruiting adequate numbers.
And we see this week that the hospital is extremely busy, particularly the emergency department. So looking at it, this money hasn't brought any positives so far.
No, the problem is we need all of the staff that the agency, nurses, doctors, consultants bring. The problem is raises, what we need them is we need them directly employed. Why should we be paying 20% more just because they're coming from an agency? And that 20% that we're saving, which results in millions of euros each year, should be pumped back into the hospital so that we are not seeing the tight levels of overcrowding, so that we're not having patients coming to us telling us that they're waiting 2 years for an appointment, or that we're not seeing the chronic level of underfunding that is going on within the hospital. This is a glaring example of inefficiencies of health and that the government simply refused to deal with. Forcing managers into a situation where they're not allowed to employ directly full-time staff, and therefore they know that they need to meet the needs of their patients and they have to go to agencies as a way around it.
There's a warning: checking your Instagram or WhatsApp on the drive home from work is just as dangerous as taking a phone call. The Road Safety Authority says it's alarmed at a 7% rise in road deaths so far this year. 90 people have been killed in crashes, five of them in Donegal. Maya Murdoch, Chief Executive of the RSA, says people not being able to put their phones down is a big problem.
There is a big FOMO issue here, a fear of missing out, and it's not just even talking to people, it's just looking to see what's happening and the latest alert, and unfortunately that carries on into the car with the driver, especially younger drivers. So the message really is, face it down, do not have it sitting distracting you.
There's further concern as to how proposed restructuring plans for Garda divisions will affect community policing in Donegal and other rural areas. It emerged this week that Donegal may no longer be a Garda division in its own right, with speculation that the county may be part of a new North West division, which would also include Sligo and Leitrim. Irish Rural Link is warning that if these plans are to proceed, then community policing will become even more important and will need to be adequately resourced. Their chief executive, Seamus Bolan, says Donegal alone is a vast area and he's sceptical about how the proposals will work in the long run.
If increasing numbers without a purpose is the problem, and if the priority in terms of community policing is not clarified, then these numbers will simply be just more people collecting parking fines, etc., but not necessarily doing the real crime prevention, which worries most of my members and members in rural areas particularly.
Take Donegal, for example, the Donegal Garda Division. Indeed, it's going to be part of a new northern division.
Yeah.
If these plans go ahead, their chief superintendent will be based in Sligo. Does that raise a few concerns with yourselves in terms of overall management within the division now?
Yeah, there's a couple of things there, right? Clearly trying to establish a border region may well be part of the overall management of Brexit and all of that. However, the border, as you know, is a long region, and of course Donegal goes right up to the actual coast, the northern coast. Donegal in its own right is a huge area, and really it may well be, I would have thought you needed two superintendents there, you needed them part of two regions but working in a unified basis. Again, you're putting a huge workload on the top management, and given the area, which as you know stretches from the north of Ireland, as in beside Derry, right around Sligo, all across to Dundalk, Loud, that's a massive area for one person to be in charge of.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the massive fifth birthday sale has up to 50% off selected lines of clothing and footwear until this Sunday. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time to latest in sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer, and Arsenal have completed the club record signing of Nicolas Pepe from Lille. The Ivory Coast winger has cost Arsenal €80 million and has signed a 5-year contract at the Emirates. Shamrock Rovers are in Cyprus this evening, hoping to progress to the third qualifying round of the Europa League. Stephen Bradley's side hold a 2-1 first leg lead of Apollon Limassol with kickoff at 6 o'clock. Elsewhere this evening, Wolves take a 2-0 lead with them to Seaview for their second leg with Crusaders. Crews have today sold Republic of Ireland under 21 striker and former Derry City player Ronan Hale to St Pat's. Finn Harps welcome Bohemians to Finn Park tomorrow night as they go in search of their third league win in a row. It will be no easy task, however, as Bows have beaten the Ballybuffet side 3 times already this year. Manager Ollie Horgan told Chris Ashmore that he would be happy with a scoreless draw.
the first time we touched the ball in Daly Mount, we were one down, they tipped off. We didn't get the ball, they scored after a minute, and we just couldn't get back into it. You know, I know we equalised in that twice actually, but the first goal is crucial, you know, and we'd be quite happy if there wasn't the first goal, Chris, to put it that way to you. But, you know, when we concede early, it tends to be a long night for us, and that has been the case with Bowes. They've beaten us three times, and we need to try and get something over Friday night.
In team news, Nathan Boyle, Michael Gallagher, Mark Coyle and Kieran Gallagher are on the injured list for Harps, while Raphael Quartaro and Keelan McAleer are suspended. Derry City travel to Belfield tomorrow to take on bottom of the table UCD. The sides finished level when they last played, which is something Derry hope won't happen tomorrow. Junior is the only injury worry for the Candy Stripes, but manager Declan Devine says he has plenty of players at his disposal.
Junior's struggling. We'll see how he is closer to the time. If there's any way that that's going to be a problem for him, we won't take a risk, because as I say, look at the attacking options we have. We've Connor Davis, David Parkhouse, you've got Michael McCrudden, you've got Barry McNamee, you've got Jamie McDonough, you've got Eddie Delap. I am very, very happy with the squad of players that I have.
In athletics news today, Summer Leckie of Finn Valley AC and Shannon Craig of Lifford Strabane AC are taking part in the Belfast International Meet this evening. Both competitors are competing in the high jump at the Mary Peters track, and action in that event gets underway at around 25 past 7. In Gaelic games, Donegal will go to Castle Bar this Saturday looking to book their place in the All-Ireland semi-finals. They face a Mayo team who know that only a win can get them into the last four, while a draw will suffice for Donegal. Only one Donegal team has played a championship match down in Castle Bar, beating Galway in an All-Ireland quarter-final replay back in 2003. Adrian Sweeney was a member of that team, and he told Tom Comeck on last night's GAA programme that they'll need to step up and get a good start.
They've been extremely consistent since, you may say, since the playoffs of the National League, and they've done well the whole way through, and this, like, they're playing at a consistently high level. But I just feel that some of the players probably may have dropped off in the last game or two, and that they just need to pick it up a bit. But hopefully come Saturday evening, now it'll be no easy task in the League 20 players to get them over the line, but hopefully they can do that with a bit of fresh legs and everything else. I think this Mayo team, this will be their last kick, and any team and their last kick will be dangerous. So I think they'll need to start early, no more than what we've done during Galway. Start well early on and try and get ahead and try and stay ahead.
In horse racing, 10-1 shot Tudor City won the feature race of the day at the Galway races. Robbie Power steered the 7-year-old to victory in the Guinness Galway Hurdle. Due Reward was second, Band of Outlaws was in third, and it was David's Charm that finished in fourth place there. In rugby, Wales have suffered a big injury blow ahead of the World Cup. Flanker Talupe Faletau has been ruled out of the entire tournament with a collarbone problem. The Welsh Rugby Union says it was sustained in an innocuous training ground incident and it will need surgery. In boxing, the European School Boy and School Girl Championships will be staged in Tbilisi, Georgia from the 2nd to the 12th of August. And flying the flag for Donegal boxing will be Illy's Golden Gloves boxer Carly Irving. The 46kg puncher has won two national titles this year, winning the Girl 3 national title at 47kg back in May. And then in July, she turned in an outstanding quality of boxing when she won the 46kg title and booked her place at the European Championships. In cricket, England have made a blistering start to the first Ashes test. The hosts lost the toss and were forced to field first, but a short time ago had reduced Australia to 185-8. And finally, in golf, Seamus Power is 4 under par with 5 to play of his opening round of the Wimbledon Championship. Padraig Harrington is 1 over with 6 to play, and it's Rory Sabatini who leads the way on 7 under par. That's all your sports news here on Highland Today. Your next local sports update is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning, but for now, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And we're turning to some news. Authorisations will soon be granted for 15 angling vessels to participate in a pilot bluefin tuna data collection programme. The programme will see 4 vessels in Donegal catch, tag and release Atlantic bluefin tuna for data collection purposes off the Irish coast. Emma Rose Callaghan has more.
The authorised vessels, which are located in Cork, Clare, Galway, Sligo and Donegal, will support scientific work to increase knowledge of the behaviour and abundance of bluefin tuna in in Irish waters. The new programme will operate on a pilot basis in 2019. Authorisations will be granted to the 15 angling vessels from mid-August until mid-October. All skippers and trained crew have participated in training with guidance provided around fish handling, welfare, tagging and data recording. Participants in the programme will catch, tag and release bluefin tuna while adhering to strict fish safety and handling procedures at all times. In a statement, Minister Michael Creed said that this initiative will allow the Marine Institute and Inland Fisheries Ireland to collect valuable data on the migratory patterns of bluefin tuna in Irish waters in a tightly controlled environment.
And finally, Highland Radio has retained its number one position with an increase in market share and weekly listenership. The latest JNLR figures published today show that between July 2018 and June 2019, Highland Radio's market share rose to its highest level since 2013. Greg Hughes has more.
Highland Radio continues to hold the highest market share of any radio station in Ireland, according to the latest Joint National Listenership Research Survey published this morning by Ipsos MRBI. The JNLR figures show that from 7am to 7pm on weekdays, Highland Radio accounts for 64.4% of all radio listenership in its North Donegal franchise area. Meanwhile, 60% of all adults in the area reported listening to Highland Radio at some point during the previous day, and 83% at some point in the previous week. That's a reach of 89,000 listeners every week, not counting people listening elsewhere in Donegal and in neighbouring counties. Neither does the figure reflect the number of people listening online.
Weather now, dry in most areas this evening with good sunshine at times, dry and mostly clear tonight with lowest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal County Council has confirmed that plans are underway to house a number of refugee families in Donegal Town. To date, families have been resettled in Carndonagh, Ballybofey, Stranorlar, Letterkenny and Buncrana. A number of local residents have objected to plans for a major extension to McGettigan's Hotel, Main Street, Letterkenny. Concern over an increase in traffic and noise, as well as access for delivery vehicles through Spears Lane, have been expressed. There are urgent calls for the reinstatement of the Community Welfare Officer post at the Milford Public Services Centre. It's understood that the service will now be provided in Letterkenny, and in urgent cases, an officer will visit Milford, but not at a time suggested by the user. And a Donegal deputy has described spending on agency staff at Letterkenny University Hospital as outrageous. In the first 5 months of this year alone, almost €3 million has been spent on agency staff at the hospital, the highest amount spent across the whole Seilte Hospital group. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 1st of August. The death has taken place of Michael Curry, Coleman Fold Strabane, and formerly of Mourne Place. His remains will repose at his sister Mary Kennedy's home at 9 Ashgrove Park, Strabane, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Mrs. Dorothy McKinley, née Rolston, Doohan, Castle Fim. Funeral from her late residence tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, first service in Dunnockmore Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard in the family plot. The house is strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Ernie Gibson, funeral director. The death has taken place of John Donaghy, 25, Carrick Strand, Strabane, formerly of Coolkeira, Derry. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Castle Finn. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Parkinson Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has occurred of Kathleen McKinney, Home Cottage, Cockhill Road, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Nellie Barr, née McBride, 2 Mount Carmel View, Ballycolman, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Nora Duncan, née Hunter, 10 Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral service there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 with burial afterwards in the family plot at Rye Presbyterian Church, Manor Cunningham. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Muriel Jackman, née McIntyre, Crora, Cooldaff. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in St. Bowden's Church of Ireland, Cooldaff, followed by burial in the adjoining burial ground. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie, Northern Ireland, care of Liam Collins, Funeral Director, or any family member. And the death has taken place of Mary McCauley, née Holmes, Drumahl, Manor Cunningham. Mary's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Drumahl, followed by private cremation. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.